Welcome to Take on the Lake. I've got a story for you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Take on the Lake with Lake Expo. I'm Nathan Bechtold. Thank you for joining us. Today in the studio, we have Stacy Pirtle. Stacy, thanks for being here. And Stacy is a member of the Community Foundation of the Lake, has been for quite a while, and also has some really cool news. It's kind of related to the Community Foundation of the Lake regarding a really important trail project that's happening at the lake. And so we're going to dive into both of those today. And CFL, I have gotten to know more about it over the years. Originally, it was frankly rather mysterious to me because it was like, wait, what does this nonprofit do? And the answer was, well, it helps all the other nonprofits. And my thought was, why don't the other nonprofits just help themselves? But I've learned that there's an actual answer to that question
there
over time.
Answer.
So tell us a little about, again, there are listeners who know exactly what CFL is and love it. So they'll just get to enjoy hearing you talk about it. But for lots of folks like me, once upon a time, never heard of it, or if have, go, I don't know, it's just another one of these foundations,
right,
or something. So explain like what it does, why it really is, brings meaningful help to nonprofits and charitable groups and all that around the central Missouri area.
All right. Yes, because we do actually, we cover Camden, Miller, and Morgan counties. And we are actually an affiliate underneath the Community Foundation of the Ozarks, which has 55 affiliates under its umbrella.
Oh.
And so funds that are come into the Community Foundation of the Lake are then invested with all of these other 55 organizations. So the return on the investment is greater that you're getting, and it's a safe way for people to be able to donate. But the Community Foundation, was the vision behind it was to help drive the cultural, economic, health, and educational background at the lake. So we do help a lot of nonprofits. We raise funds for them. We provide grants. We provide disaster assistance. There's a lot of different things that we do. We also help them by, they can have funds with us that then are invested, and they
individual nonprofit organizations can have a fund with CFL.
Correct.
And then CFL helps manage, invest,
exactly,
and even distribute those funds if they're like earmarked, like if there was a, right? Am I getting that right?
For example, yes. And so it's not even just nonprofits. Private individuals or businesses can actually have funds with us. A great example of that is Scott's Concrete. They set up a fund several years ago, and that's how they run all of their charitable donations, is through Community Foundation of the Lake. And all they have to do, they put money into the fund each year, and they just distribute out when somebody comes in and asks for a donation. They can decide if they're going to do that. They don't have to really do anything. They just send an email or call Community Foundation, and that is sent out to the nonprofit. We track all of the tax deductibility, send a statement at the end of the year. Families can also do that, mm-hmm, if they want to establish a foundation, and they can be donor advised, which means the donor is the one that says how that money is going to be spent, or they can have us run a grant round with it. So for example, we had a woman several years ago who left part of her estate to us, and she wanted that to be used for animal shelters, specifically horse and dog shelters.
I remember this.
And so,
because we ran something at Lake Expo when, right, you opened the grant round, mm-hmm, and it was weirdly specific, right?
Exactly.
But I mean, it was like, there is a grant available, mm-hmm, for these very specific entities,
horse and dog shelters,
right,
and rescues.
And they could apply. And she left that money for that,
right,
and they could apply. And I guess, what do they fill out, a form? And I don't know what y'all do to kind,
yes,
of,
we have
vet that, no pun intended.
All online. And so we have a grant hub that they go into when we announce these grants. They answer the questions, provide a little bit of information about their budget and what they're going to be using it for. And so that one was set up as an endowment, which means we only spend 4% of that a year.
Right. Like, but mostly like what it's just churning off in,
right,
terms of
just an interest.
Yeah.
We just spend 4% of the interest. So that endowment is going to be there in perpetuity, mm-hmm, and families,
nice,
or anybody can do that as well. And so if you have something that you're passionate about and want it to go on and be of assistance, an endowment is the way to set it up. this individual. I don't remember the exact amount that she left in her estate, but that 4% that we're spending of the interest on it, we generally grant out between $34,000 and $40,000 a year to horse and dog shelters.
Okay.
So it can be significant, that compounding interest. And like I said, it'll go on forever.
Right.
There will always be money there for those entities. So Whatever you're passionate about, you can set up an endowment fund for.
Yeah. So you're managing funds for nonprofits, and then you also will manage funds for foundations for an individual or a family or whatever. So you'll hear of the such and such family foundation. Well, if a family has money that they want to put into a foundation, they can establish that through CFL, basically. Like they would go to y'all and say, hey, we have this pile of bills we'd like to start a foundation with. How do we do that? And then you basically help them from the ground up do that?
We'll have a conversation about exactly specifically how they want to do it. If they want it to be something that is an endowment going on, or if it's just a fund they want to set up, they can also do scholarships through us. So there's a lot of diversity of the way that we can handle funds, and it's really up to each individual as to how they want to do that.
Yeah. So that's a useful tool kind of on both sides of it.
It is. It is. And then the other part that we do for helping nonprofits specifically, we run a lot of workshops. So, you know, applying for grants. We've done several workshops here recently on helping individual nonprofits file for grants, because that can be very, number one, time consuming.
I've seen the paperwork.
It can be very scary for people if you're not a writer, and it's can be challenging. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to have to. There are professional grant writers out there that you can pay, but a lot of these nonprofits don't have the funds.
And also that kind of feels like a gamble. If you're applying for a grant, you're going to pay this person to do this thing and don't even know if we're going to get the grant. And then, so that's that's good. So do you have any, I mean, I didn't prep you for this, but do you have any success stories or anything that you can think of groups that, you know, locally that have gone through one of those grant writing workshops or something like that and come away with like, wow, that helped us, or wow, we actually got this grant because of that or something?
I don't know that we necessarily have success stories yet, because we really just started focusing on this in the last year and a half. Okay. But I'm not a professional grant writer in any way, shape, or form. And I've been successful in getting grants. And that was after going through some training with the Community Foundation of the Ozarks. I wrote a grant with the city of Osage Beach for Safer Streets and Roads. And it was a planning grant. And so we were awarded that $1 million planning grant.
Who'd that grant come through? Was that a federal?
That was a federal grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've also got an AmeriCorps grant that I wrote. So, and I think it also has taken some of the fear out for some of these organizations. They weren't even looking to apply for grants. And now I know of several organizations that are like, okay, looks like maybe this is something we can do. And so they're starting to apply, even if it's just small grants. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, part of the reason that we started it was because we were getting grant applications that necessarily weren't complete. We knew there was a need and the organization was really a good organization, but they weren't meeting the criteria.
Yeah, they just weren't filling the grant out, right?
Right. And so we wanted to make sure we educated everybody on how to do that and give them a fighting chance at least.
Interesting. Yeah, that's meaningful. I mean, that actually moves the needle for groups around the lake. And again, there's a lot of, I don't even know how many nonprofits we have around the lake. We have a lot. The lake is a really charitable place. And I tell people this. I'm trying to remember who it was in recent years that came from St. Louis or some area, and they were floored by the way the lake community, and the lake community is an interesting term, right? Because the lake community means people who live here full time, and also people who visit here, have a house, have a second home here or whatever, but are connected enough into this community, maybe from a business standpoint or something, that they are part of it in a unique way. And so all that to say that the lake community is an especially generous community.
It's absolutely amazing to me as to how the small businesses, especially. I mean, I've been involved with nonprofits my entire life, starting out when I was a kid in 4-H. I can remember going around and soliciting for trophy funds for horse shows. And, you know, a lot of times that came out of some of the larger businesses, the big box stores, the grocery stores, that type of thing. And I lived in a smaller community, 8,000 people. So fairly similar to the lake size. And then when I moved to Kansas City, you know, it was corporations that were doing that type of thing. But that's not the case here. It is the small businesses. Yeah. And I think Rick Bryant is one that just does an amazing job. He's always out doing the live auctions for everybody and raising all kinds of funds. But he has a very valid point that please support those nonprofit or those businesses that are supporting the nonprofits.
Because, no kidding.
You know, if you're looking, whether you're looking to go buy a hamburger or a car, check out who's supporting the nonprofits.
That's your community. Yeah. Like you see those names as, you know, gold sponsors, silver sponsors, all these at these different charitable events. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a good word. Like go give those guys some love.
That's right.
Patronize them. Give them some extra consideration. And I'm not just saying that because our name every once in a while shows up on there. There's a lot of names that end up above ours on those lists. And so, yeah, that is the lifeblood of the Lake community. Those are real people whose families started a business maybe in the 1950s here or maybe in 2006 or whatever.
Right.
Like, and they are, yeah, you're right. That is a really unique characteristic of
it
the lake.
It is very unique characteristic. And yeah, I think your point about people that actually live here full-time as well as part-time, I think Idiots Club is a brilliant example of that. They just go around and have events during the summer. And so a lot of their funds are coming from just visitors to the lake area. And, you know, I do think we kind of forget when we're here at the lake and especially visitors or maybe people that have second homes that, you know, the economy is a tourist-based economy. We don't have a lot of jobs outside of that. So, you know, when those businesses maybe shut down or scale back in the winter, those people need that are working there that are serving you or cleaning your rooms or whatever, they need some help and assistance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think always the poverty rate and the school reduced lunches surprises people. We see all of these big boats and we see all of these multi-million dollar homes. And for the people, a lot of the people that are living here and have been here forever, that's not the case. That's not where they're living.
Yeah. You scooch a quarter mile off the waterfront and it's a different story.
Exactly.
For sure. And it's people's eyes you see are open to that at different times. And I think you can't talk about that enough.
You can't.
Of how much that is just a reality here. I mean, it was just not that long ago that I had the Hurricane Deck Elementary PTO here on the show, and they were talking about the homelessness rate at that school, and that their school in particular has the highest homelessness rate in all of Camdenton School District. Mm-hmm. And that I'm going to mess up the percentage, but it was a high percentage. It was a shocking percentage of kids that would qualify as homeless. That doesn't always mean that they're not under a roof, but it often means they're transient or they're couch surfing or they're in a car and then an apartment and then here, and then there's no stability. And yeah, there's a ton of that. And so that actually then too goes to why sometimes you see so many charitable organizations too, because there's a lot of need.
There is a lot of need. There's a lot of unmet need still out there. And that's kind of why the Community Foundation was to help grow these nonprofits and to help them manage their funds appropriately, build those funds appropriately so that they were taking care of things in perpetuity.
That's great. If a person already had a foundation, family foundation, what would be a reason they maybe should consider bringing it over to CFL?
Great question. One of the biggest things is because you're investing with the community foundations that are all under Community Foundation of the Ozarks, so 55. So instead of maybe you've got a $3 million family foundation and you're investing that money in the market and stocks and that type of thing, well, if you put that money in with all of those, and there is an investment advisory board made up of former bankers and financial advisors. They're very qualified, but your return is usually greater because you're pooling all that money and investing it together. So the return on that, whatever that amount is greater.
Yeah. There's probably some disclaimer we're supposed to say about no guaranteed returns on investment or something.
But Community Foundation of the Ozarks has a very good return rate and has averaged just over 7% for the 50 years that it's been in existence.
Wow. So great.
That's a pretty good rate.
Great. Okay. Well, that is a great answer to that question. So if you have a family foundation, give Stacy a call or CFL a call and go, hey, I want to talk about moving that into CFL. Because again, I think the fact that it exists there with the community foundation alongside what these nonprofits are doing, my guess is that oftentimes the nonprofits that are affiliated with CFL and that that receive funds through those kinds of donations, that's helpful in the end, right?
Like, it is. There's more of a connection. Mm-hmm. And that's the other part of it, too. If you have a foundation, you may not be as connected to the nonprofit community in the area you're right. in. So this allows that type of connection for you to know more about it. We send out newsletters. We send out emails to let people know. So, yeah, it definitely makes that connection for everybody stronger.
And I don't personally have the problem of not knowing what to do with all my money, but you know, that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. When you have this foundation and you're like, we want this to go somewhere good and meaningful, right? Mm-hmm. And I've had that conversation with multiple people in recent years and directed them to local nonprofits because, again, there's some great opportunities here. But that's good to know that, like, you can move your family foundation into, well, it would be a community foundation, the Ozarks, I guess, that umbrella. But yeah, okay, yeah. Great.
Well, send people. The other cool thing is because, you know, you have a lot of people maybe that have retired here, their kids are spread across the country, and they have a home. The kids don't want that home. Maybe they don't even need the money, or they want, you know, the individual living here wants to give something back to the lake. Mm-hmm. We can handle, with the Community Foundation of the Ozarks, we can handle whether it's a home or any type of real estate,
okay.
livestock, cars, boats, all types of different types of
annuities. It can be donated directly, and then mm-hmm. you handle the selling of it and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Interesting. The kids don't have to worry about handling that.
Oh, that's really
interesting. A lot of times that's a benefit for individuals mm-hmm. because the kids don't want to mess with it.
You know? Right. Mm-hmm. You see that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that a lot with like the lake house and
yes,
stuff, right?
Exactly.
I mean, where it's like it's now divided among 8 different people and... Right. You know,
and it sometimes yeah. it even helps settle those type of issues. Okay, we're just going to leave this into a family foundation and, you know, we'll let CFL sell that off mm-hmm. and use the funds to establish. And then the people that have lived here and been committed to the community are giving back to the community as well.
That's great. That's great. One coming up is the big annual CFL fundraiser, mm-hmm. the Champagne Campaign.
The Champagne
love
Campaign.
Love the rhyme on that one, always have. And there is champagne, but there's also other great things to eat and drink and good times to be had. It was my first Champagne Campaign was last year, mm-hmm. and it surprised me with how fun it was. I mean, I don't mean that sounds terrible. Yeah. It was a really good time.
Into
it
going
wasn't,
to these fundraisers.
Yeah, it wasn't and stuffy like, and hoity-toity. Right. It was mm-hmm. it was fun.
Even
there was
it's
a lot
campaign,
to do.
Campaign. It is fun. Yeah.
But it was kind of elegant too. I mean, that's what I mean. It was both and. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So yeah, it's coming up September 27th. We're going to do it again this year at Memory Lane Event Center where we had it last year, which is a beautiful location that the Westbrooks have put together out there. And yeah, we've got some really exciting fun things. Of course, as always, Mama Cita's and Papo's, mm-hmm. Chris and Melissa Galloway, yep. are so gracious and generous, and they are going to be catering the event for us once again.
It was a great spread last year.
It was a great spread, yeah. It's just amazing. And then, of course, you know, if you get the brown butter cookies.
Oh, yeah.
That's to seal
those
the deal.
Those end up getting auctioned off,
yeah,
I think, at some point, too.
Yes.
Sometimes it's like 2 dozen. Wait, nope. There's just 23 here yeah. because somebody just grabbed it.
Because Rick Bryant
right.
stole
right.
one.
Yeah, Rick Bryant stole one. Exactly. I misspoke. Last year was my second champagne. I went to one of the ones at La Roca when they were being held there for a little while. So,
yeah, we outgrew that.
But it's a great event. There's fun stuff to do there. Uh-huh. There's all kinds of ways, like little, I don't know how to say it, activities and like
we have little games
and stuff that are fundraising things too,
right.
that you can go do. So
right.
it's not just throw money in a barrel or whatever, like go do this thing. There was a balloon release last year that was really neat that you could buy, you know, you could buy your balloon, pay for a balloon, and they did a big balloon release. So there's like mm-hmm. all kinds of creative things that happen there, all of which raise money for CFL, essentially to the benefit of local nonprofits.
Yes, because all the funds raised at Champagne Campaign do go to our grant round, our human grant round is what we call it.
Okay.
So yeah, and we do have an exciting new thing that we're going to have. We're going to have the wine toss again. We've had that for years, and you know, people walk out with a couple bottles of wine.
You don't toss wine. You toss a ring over wine bottles.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to county fair days
yes,
or
right.
carnival days. Yep. Yeah. Instead of pop bottles, we're using wine bottles right. for the adults. But one of the cool things that we're adding this year is puppy races. And I am so excited about
this. That's fun.
It's going to be so much fun. Dogwood Animal Shelter is going to be the beneficiary of all of the funds that we raise in the puppy races. They are bringing out a couple of litters of puppies.
Oh, man.
I think one or 12.
Listen, you just sold out all the tickets.
I know, right? I hope so. I have so. One litter is Chihuahuas and one is a Bichon mix.
Okay.
And so if you've ever seen a Bichon, those little white bundles of fluff.
Yep.
Oh, they're so cute. Yeah. So we've got some early pictures of them, but we'll have those
brilliant. All
decked out and you can bet on your favorite puppy and you might even be able to adopt that night and take one home.
I bet some will be brought home. There will be people unable to resist those little things.
It might be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's dangerous, but it's for a good cause.
It
All right,
is
folks.
For a good cause.
That's good. So that's coming up. Tell me the date again on that.
September 27th.
We're really close.
We are getting very close. Yes.
Okay.
So if you haven't got your tickets or your sponsorship, please get in touch with us. You can visit our website or you can give me a call or Jan Amos a call and we'll be happy to get that taken care of. We're still soliciting some silent auction donations and live auction donations. We're also live auction. We're going to be giving away auctioning off some great trips.
Mm-hmm.
Sicily.
Oh.
We had several people that went to, we did, an Italy trip last year.
I remember that.
I can't remember which. Oh, Tuscany. It was in Tuscany.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two people that bought that, or two different groups that bought that. All of them said they had a great time, great experience.
Nice.
So, we've got some really cool items coming up there. We'll have some Kansas City Chiefs memorabilia. We're also going in with the Soccer World Cups coming to the U.S. We're going to have some soccer memorabilia from Messi and Ronaldo. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And we're still working on trying to get maybe some tickets to the World Cup.
Excellent. All right. So stay tuned or just show up and then you'll see.
Right.
So no reason not to just get your ticket now. And so go to the Community Foundation of the Lake website, which is
communityfoundationofthelake.org.
Okay. Got it. Look them up on Facebook. You can Google them.
Facebook.
You can just, find Stacy out and about. Any of these things are totally acceptable.
Right.
But sign up. It's a good time. It's absolutely worth it. And a lot of folks attend and everyone has fun.
It is. It is really a good time. It sounds elegant. We do try to make it elegant.
Yeah.
But it's also a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, kind of a cultural icon, we have a Taylor Swift autographed guitar that we're going to be auctioning off
year
as well. So her engagement and stuff.
That'll raise a few dollars.
He's coming.
Yeah. My good friend Mike Caesar is emceeing this year.
Yes.
Love me some Mike Caesar. He stole my spot. Listen, it couldn't have gone to a better guy. I like Mike.
He actually, last year was his first champagne campaign, and he enjoyed it and the mission so much that he actually joined the board.
Good.
So
good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good. It is great that he's on the board.
It is.
And great that he's emceeing. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So with the few minutes we have left, let's talk about one particular project that was birthed out of CFL, which is the Magic Dragon Trail.
Yes.
So I love the outdoors. One of my favorite things to do in the outdoors is mushroom hunting, actually. I love mushroom hunting. Everyone goes, oh, morels? No, I've found like three morels ever. Scotty Martin knows where all the morels are. But and he showed me once, but only when there were not very many out,
You're lucky if he showed you even.
Well, that might have been his like public, honey hole spot. Maybe
viewing.
Maybe he has his other, But no, throughout the summer, that's what I love doing in the outdoors. But the Ozarks generally is just such a good place to be in the outdoors. And I mean, now as we record this, fall weather is sort of creeping in.
It's kind of perfect right now.
Oh my goodness. It's so wonderful. The humidity is lifting. Man, September is one of the best times.
September, October, I think probably the best months.
Yeah, I think they are. But so all of that to say, you're working on a trail system.
Yes.
With a big plan throughout the lake area. I love big plans. But there are already elements of it that are already in existence. So give us a quick snapshot of, tell us what is there already and like where it is. So people, if you're like, I want to do some trail stuff, you can go at least get a little bit in. You can tell us what's on the horizon and then maybe we'll zoom out to the master plan.
Okay. All right. So Magic Dragon Trails, we kind of, an economic development as part of Community Foundation's mission statement. We hadn't really focused much on that. So my husband's a mountain biker and I love to hike and hunt mushrooms as well.
Okay.
Oysters are my favorite.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
or black trumpets.
Those are good too. Chanterelles.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I do a lot of hiking, but you have to drive 20 minutes really to get to any place, whether it's the state parks or that type of thing.
Right.
And so we wanted to bring some connection into the community. And so we decided to do a master plan. We hired a professional design team out of Northwest Arkansas, which is really kind of specialized on developing trail systems.
They know the outdoors.
They know the outdoors. They have over 400 miles of trails. And those are not just mountain biking trails. They're multi-use recreational trails. So we're going to have some paved trails, some chat trails, some natural surface trails for biking, running, hiking, walking, pushing kids on a stroller, on a Strider bike, that type of thing. And the first thing that we did, because we really saw a need that kids didn't have a place to really safely ride their bikes at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yep.
So
real problem.
It is a real problem.
I have five and it's like, man, there's hardly sidewalks anywhere. I mean, there are a little bit, but
yeah,
I feel it.
Yeah. And you know, it's not safe on a lot of hills. And a lot of your smaller kids don't want to ride at a 45-degree angle hill.
Can't understand why, but yeah.
They might like going down, but they better be able to stop.
Right.
So the first thing that we did was build a bike skills park. And we did that. The YMCA was gracious enough to, they had a flat lot of land out there they weren't using. And so they allowed us to build the skills park. And it's got just natural surface trails on it. And then we built some features. So there are some ramps. If you've got a higher level skill kid, they can get some air going off some of those things. But we also have kids that ride up that ramp on a Strider bike, which is a little balance bike, and they're just using their feet, not pedaling. And so they're going over those, but they're learning to ride a bike or having an area to ride a bike.
So it's good for striders, training wheels, like all the air, and then kids that want to grab some air.
We discourage training wheels.
Oh, okay.
And the reason is because kids never learn to balance, which is really the hardest thing. That pedaling motion is easy for them to learn, but balancing. So when you use a Strider bike, they're just kind of walking along, then they start running, then they start pushing off, and they glide, and then they've learned balance.
Right.
And after that, pedaling is nothing to them.
Okay, good.
So
all y'all using training wheels out there, go take them off the kid's bike.
Check out.
Put a helmet on them and just give them a little shove. They'll be fine, right? Stacy said so.
No, I'm just kidding.
Tell me where it's open to the public.
It is open to the
public. Free.
You do not have to be a Y member. It's open to anybody. And actually, if you don't have a bike, we have Scott's Concrete was generous enough and donated a shipping container. And then Christy Wagner painted a mural on it. So it's a lot of fun out there.
Nice.
And we've used that for storage of bikes. So if you don't have a bike or a way to haul a bike, just let us know. We'll go open up the shipping container, get you some bikes to ride. We have bikes from Striders all the way up. My son's 6'5", so his old bike is out there. So we can handle about everybody.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's free to use.
It's free
and
to use.
Tell me exactly where it is so somebody can go straight to it.
So the YMCA is on Airport Road. I believe it's 650 Airport Road.
Mm-hmm. So, Osage Beach Parkway. Other things near there.
And you go just past like Blair's Landing and where Subway is where you turn to go into the YMCA, which I am always.
Culver's area is kind of around there.
Like the Grand Blaise Airport is right there.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So behind the YMCA.
It's basically to the side of the YMCA.
Okay.
Yeah. Be the southeast side.
So people could just
load the bikes up.
Go to the bike park.
Go over and ride.
All right.
And we've run bike classes for 3 years now and been able to teach kids to ride a bike. I was hoping I had a 2-year-old and he's been on a balance bike for years. I was hoping this year we would get him to pedaling, but that's the motion he needs to learn is the pedaling motion. So, but yeah, it's a great place. And, you know, kids go out there, you know, whether they spend 45 minutes or 2 hours. And then there is a little trail off of that that people can use to kind of learn about mountain biking and what that kind of looks like.
Just kind of a beginner's trail kind of thing.
We need to do some work on it because it can be a little complicated for people if they haven't. So, but it's also a great place for people to walk. And, you know, we have a lot of people that use the YMCA and they'll go out after aerobics and walk there. Or maybe they've gone and they thought, oh, I'm going to walk on the track or run on the track. And then they think, oh, it's a nice morning out. Mm-hmm. I want to be outside. And they can just go rock on the bicycle skills park or the trail.
Better for you anyways.
That's right. I find that easier on my joints. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Age. Well, isn't it like, yeah, all the, like the ruggedness of a trail, I know, kind of makes you use all those stabilizing muscles and then your knees and your ankles and all those things that on a, just a pure flat surface, you're not.
Right.
You're not putting into work. Mm-hmm. So
plus, you know, once you're out in nature, it's been proven, you know, that it increases your chemicals that your body needs to produce to fight disease and immunities.
We should all just be going on walks in the woods and we'll be healthier and happier. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I actually do believe that. That's a prescription I need to give. My wife actually does a good job of this. She gets out and goes on walks. But so that's there. And then there's currently a trail in progress.
There is. We started a couple of weeks ago putting in trailheads off of Nichols Road and Three Seasons Road. So the one on Nichols Road is just above Osage Beach Elementary School. And we're going to be putting in a little trail there that the kids can access during school or they can use for PE, that type of thing. And eventually we hope to connect Three Seasons Road and Nichols Road. So if there are kids that live over there, they can walk to school on the trail or they can ride their bike to school. And it's pretty heavily residential area there. Mm-hmm. So people can get out and just use it. And that one is going to be a natural surface. We would actually like to extend then off of that, kind of probably in the right of way, 12 to 14 feet off of the road. It's pretty flat along Three Seasons Road. And so we're hoping to be able to add a chat or cement asphalt trail for people to walk. We've got about a mile there. And I know like a mile doesn't sound like very much, but for a lot of people, it is. I'm going out, I mean, mile one way, mile two.
Yeah,
it's 2 miles.
That's so meaningful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll be putting about 3 miles of trail then off of Three Seasons Road until we hopefully eventually can get it connected all the way.
Okay. So near term, what we have is the bike park mm-hmm. with the kind of trail that peels off of that. Right now, mm-hmm. there's the in-progress work happening over at Three Seasons and Nichols. Mm-hmm. Is any element of that accessible now, or it's like, no, it's all under construction?
We've got construction workers there right now, so yeah, we really don't want people out there in the midst of the construction.
Stay tuned,
so.
Though, on that. We'll be publishing about that at Lake Expo, and you know, maybe we can help announce whenever it's kind of officially, you do ribbon cutting or something,
ribbon cutting.
When that opens. And then long-term, the vision is to have a pretty expansive kind of network around the lake area, right? Maybe say a little about that.
Okay. Well, one other thing that we're going to be doing this fall, we're going to be working with the city and put a trail around the Osage Beach City Park. A little bit of that will go up into the state park. So we've got kind of a partnership going there.
Good.
So that's going to be, and I think with the new dog park that's out there, people are really going to take advantage of that quite a bit. So, but the master plan that we originally had done was 70 miles of trail.
Great.
And that was kind of focused in the Osage Beach area. We just had to pick somewhere to start off. And we knew that there was some great access there. So that's where we started. But eventually, we would like to see the trails expand all around the lake. We have actually been working with the Council of Local Governments and MoDOT to get some bike lanes on Highway MM. Mm-hmm. And they are going to hopefully be putting up signs in the next couple of months. And then in 2027, they are going to be doing a resurfacing project. And hopefully we can work with them and get bike lanes, at least from the beginning of MM at the stoplight or Woods grocery store to the convenience store. It's Woodrow Way up there. So that's about 4 miles of access going on both sides because it's already a car width shoulder on both sides, which you don't find here at the lake very often.
No, I grew up in South Texas and there's like at least a full car width on both sides and then moved here. And like, if you cross that white line, you're in the ditch.
You could be in the ditch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So
that's a great place for road biking. And then once you get over there, you get into Porta Chima and the villages over there. And there's lots of great road riding there with beautiful views.
Right. So great. And then the grand vision we were talking about before we pushed record was that might someday even link up with the still very much, well, there's the Katy Trail, but then the Rock Island Trail,
of which portions have been some level completed, and it's all kinds of, and that's a whole nother conversation, right. But that kind of makes this loop almost Kansas City area down through Eldon. So like touches the lake area and then kind of loops back up northeast. And the idea being it would be really great if what we're doing here at the lake with the 70 miles of trail, Magic Dragon Trails linked up with that, and you could literally bike or hike if you wanted from Kansas City all the way down through the lake area and all the way back up to, where does it even terminate? Is it St. Louis? St. Louis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And there actually is, we've already looked, and there's a group of runners that do trail running, and there is a old railroad spur, the Bagnall Spur, that comes down to Bagnall. And so it definitely, there's an easy connection point to connect it to the Rock Island Trail. So yes, that's eventually what we'd like to do. And people will say, well, that's insane, you can't do that. But you know what? Our neighbors to the north and our neighbors to the south have already done it. Iowa has connected, and most of theirs are road. There, it's all asphalt or concrete trails that they have that are 10 foot wide and pretty much connected across the entire state, going around lakes already, Salmon Lake, not quite as big as Lake of the Ozarks, but they've done it. And then Northwest Arkansas, like I said earlier, has over 400 miles of trail, and they've connected communities. Their trail starts at Bella Vista, which is just across the border, and runs all the way to Springdale, Arkansas, going through several communities. And I think, you know, we've seen with the Katy Trail how it has revitalized some of those smaller towns, brought in additional jobs and tourist impact. And, you know, I love to boat and swim and everything here at the lake too. But I also like in the off season to be able to do something outdoors. And this is a perfect opportunity for the Lake of the Ozarks.
Excellent point. Where there's a will, there's a way, right? So I think I would love to see that done sooner rather than later. And as we were saying, it's one of those things that actually could be done in relatively short time span if there were enough people that really wanted to make it happen. If it got prioritized, it could happen. Bigger things than that have happened in fairly short amounts of time. Right. One of them is standing not too far away, actually, and impounds the entire Lake of the Ozarks, right? Bagnall Dam. What a dream that was.
Exactly.
And
and
an undertaking done without much of the equipment that you would use
today,
right now. So yeah, it can be done. And I hope it is done because, like we're saying, love the outdoors. People need to be outdoors more, and creating spaces for people to do that, that's a good thing.
Right. And, you know, everybody loves to look at the shoreline from the boat and go out and cruise and all of that. And it's even more fantastic when you're out in the middle of nature, actually on those trails and seeing things. So there's a lot of opportunity. We have the largest state park in the state of Missouri, which butts up to a lot of things in the community. And that's really our key. We want to connect those outdoor activities to areas of attraction that we already have, whether that's the lake or shopping or the restaurants.
Yeah, it's not isolated. That helps all those other, they all kind of, it creates a more well-rounded experience for people to have, right, when they come here or live here or whatever.
And increases property values. I mean, there's all kinds of different health aspects as well. So.
Yep. Well, I'll encourage folks to, A, go check out Community Foundation of the Lake. If you have a family foundation or you want to have a family foundation someday.
Or a business, even a business.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
To look at. Lake Expo has a foundation.
Yeah, exactly. So look at putting that with the Community Foundation of the Ozarks. Go to communityfoundationofthelake.org and you can find out how to do that. Secondly, make sure you buy your tickets to the upcoming champagne campaign. Going to be a blast.
It is going to be fun.
And thirdly, give support to this Trails Magic Dragon Trails project. Go check out the bike park. Stay tuned on what's coming and support it. When you talk to your local leaders and, you know, whoever else, be supportive of that because that's a really meaningful thing that they're trying to push forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that come to the area are kind of surprised that there's no place to ride bikes.
And
a lot of times tourist areas have that or they have that in their homes where they live at and their communities where they live at. And so they're kind of looking for that or places to run, whether it's biking, running, walking, whatever. So
hopefully we can get this done sooner rather than later and they'll have that.
We would love that.
Cool.
Great. Well, that has been our Take on the Lake. Thank you all for tuning in. If you would, please subscribe to the show, whether you're listening on the podcast, any of the podcast apps, subscribe on there, share it with a friend. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. If you're on Facebook, give us a like and a follow, and then go subscribe all the other places too, right? Do all of them. And share this with a friend. We'd love to continue getting this in front of people and these awesome organizations, stories, and things that are happening at the lake. That's what we want to share. Thanks so much for tuning in. Stay anchored, stay curious. See you soon.